you all for coming to the fifth Rav Kook Shir. So now that's okay. So now that the Yom and the Rayim is are past, so we could move away from Chufa, and I hope the order is going to reflect some type of organized system as to the thought of Rav Kook. So this topic, Kodesh V'Chol, is a topic that really runs through all the writings of Rav Kook. He's constantly talking about Kodesh V'Chol and the relationship thereof. And it's also something that, as we're going to see, affects a lot of the more particular aspects of his thought. Everything from politics to Tikkun HaMidos to societal issues to how to view Rishayim, to tolerance. A lot of these issues are going to be affected by the broader issue we're going to deal with today of the general relationship between Kodesh V'Chol. So today we're going to do the things in general terms. It might seem a bit theoretical and abstract, but hopefully in coming weeks we'll pin down the particular issues and see how this general orientation affects those things. Great. So this first piece is from Orot HaKodesh Chelek Beis, and it's the piece which people quote, which where Kook takes head on how to describe the relationship between Hashem and the world. Basically, the basic theology that we have. In it, he sets up two different models. Let's read it together. Tivi hadavar hu, it's natural, shebashkafa regila, that in the normal way of looking at things, otai haitzbonenot haloketa ba'a miyadea monotheistic, the regular monotheistic way of viewing Hashem, shiashkafa yoter mefusemet gam misad ha'amuna, that's also the regular way, the more common way of understanding the relationship between Hashem and the world. Basically, as he describes in the ellipsis, you have one God, he's transcendent, he's out there, he's perfect, and then you have the world, and the two things interact in some sort of way. But you have a monotheistic model. There's Hashem, there's the world, and they relate to each other in various ways. So this idea, this idea of you and God as being distinct from the world, as being this perfect transcendent being, sometimes causes people to feel weak. Why? Basically, you have a perfect God. He's perfect. All the milos are there. And who are you? You're this insignificant, minuscule being, distinct from God, without any of those milos that Hashem has. You compare yourself to Hashem, and you feel like you're nothing. You feel like you're worthless. There's no independent standing that you could have. So that's model number one. Model number two. But if you take a monotheistic model that's getting you closer to Spinoza's philosophy of God, so then that's pakod miyageya ta adam, it causes you less sadness and less depression. Spinoza, as I never actually read Spinoza, but according to his Wikipedia page, he was a pantheist. Pantheism basically believes that you don't have these two beings, you have God and you have the world, they're distinct. But God is the sum total of everything in the world. Nature equals God, God equals nature. Everything in this world, the composite of everything in the world, is the aggregate of everything in the world, is a definition of God. So that idea is kfira. That's what Rav Kook says in a couple of places. Spinoza was a kofir. But if you take a monotheistic model that leans towards pantheism, that leads towards Spinoza, so that's going to be something that's kosher and less depressing. So what does that mean? So basically the term in philosophy that they use is panentheism. That everything in the world is part of God. But God exists outside the boundaries of this world as well. So if you draw a circle, the circle is everything in this world. Everything in this world is godly. Everything in this world is manifestation of Hashem. Hashem exists within this circle and also outside of the circle. According to the Lashon of Chazal, so the thing people quote, is Baruch Hashem Mimikomo, Hashbrachu Mikomo Sha'olam, Vena Olam Mikomo. Hashem is the place of the world. I mean, the world is within the expanse of Hashem, but Hashem exists outside the world, Vena Olam Mikomo. So, Shimi Zakakak Misigea, meaning if you take this Spinozan idea, this pantheistic idea, and you clean it out from its dregs, meaning you take it, you just add in this assumption that Hashem is not just the aggregate of this world. So She'in shom davar mibalde alokot. This idea is the idea that modern Hasidus has expressed. Chasidus HaKadasha in Rav Kook is generally speaking a term used to refer to Chabad philosophy, the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya describes how Hashem is Melokal Aretz Kavodo, everything in this world is an expression of Hashem, and Hashem exists also outside of this world, Misaviv Kol Amin and Mamali Kol Amin, or something of that sort. So that idea, this notion, is something that's true, and it also is meyageya a person less than the first one. Rav Kook says you would think that maybe this idea causes a kalishus adas, because you aren't an independent being at that point. You're just an expression of Hashem. He says, really, it's not true. Really, for most people, take this idea, it gives them gvuras haruach. It allows them to feel secure, feel ambitious, feel vitality. It gives them a better standing in this world. Great. So those are the two models. So how do the two models relate to each other? Which one should we believe? So here comes the third paragraph. Ach afal pi sha'olam ha'yuni v'hargashi v'hashiri, yutarim etzakeich u'matzaleh adei ha'makshav ha'ashniya. Even though, in a theoretical sense, you feel better about things from the second approach, from the panentheistic approach, m'lo kol ha'aretz kivodo, ha'maleya mi'or anava v'yuvitu ha'yesh, that there's anava there, v'yuvitu ha'yesh, everything is Hashem, mikol makom ha'olam ma'asi inenu yachol liyot holek as darko api estakot at yiret ha'yuna hazot. You can't live a practical life if you walk around thinking m'lo kol ha'aretz kivodo. It's the same point that Nefesh HaKayim makes, that the Baal Tanya makes, that if you walk around thinking everything is God, so then you're not going to realize the differences between various things in the world, between various actions in the world. Basically, the entire halachic system that Torah sets up is going to fall away. So for the practical world, for the olam ma'asi, you have to live with the first hashkafa, that there's Hashem, there's a world, they're distinct. This world is made up of different things, of different parts. When you're dealing with things in this world, you have to be looking at it from the first perspective. Aval, but still, but you always have to act with the first perspective, knowing that it's not really the truth. Let's lay make our make plug. Everything flows from the second approach, from the more panentheistic approach. Then the olam ma'asi is going to work out. Because on the one hand, you're going to be acting as if some things are distinct from Hashem. Some things are good, some things are bad, some things are godly, some things are not. But in the back of your mind, you're always going to know that everything is really godly. That really everything works along some type of spectrum. And then the last words of the paragraph, Ve'imit achadim tamid al-idei ha-batot mu'kadot merkaz havaya mu'kad yuhud ha-shalem. Then everything comes together. So, when you look through the literature of Rav Kook, this piece is the piece that gets pointed to in terms of basic theology. You have monotheistic model, panentheistic model. Both of them are necessary, both of them are true. But in the back of your mind, you always have to realize that everything is somewhat divine.
Yeah. Now, even in this pan-atheistic model, does that mean if you take it to the extreme, and then you look back at the monotheistic model, that everything in the world is divorced from pure godliness? In whatever the panatheistic model means, right? Now look back at the monotheistic model you just presented from Rav Kook. So does that mean that when you look now at the monotheistic model, that when you see anything or experience anything, that there's not God there?
No, so
I'm just trying to clarify that. Is it godless, but it was created by him? Or is he present all the while? Again, in the monotheistic model, I'm just trying to hear the chiluk.
Meaning, according to the pure monotheistic model, the answer is no. There is no godliness in the world itself, which was created by God. According to the synthesis Rav Kook is trying to create, you're acting as if certain things are not godly. You're acting as if a Sefer Torah is more kadosh than a tree. But in the back of your mind, you know that really everything is just expressions of Hashem. And obviously, even though you're acting in a certain way, that back perspective in the back of your mind is going to have some ramifications as to how you view the world. Jonathan.
The first philosophy is more like, you know, they say, like the Shailim, it's like the Kotel Maravi is not holy. Only God is holy, right? The world, nothing in this world is actually holy, right? And only God is holy. That's basically like a pure version of the first one. And just that you know, certain things are more closely associated with God, and things are less closely associated with God, and that's why we relate to different things differently. That's basically.
That would basically be the first model. So,
and then the second model, that means that everything is equally Kadosh?
So that's something we're going to have to clarify later on. So we'll get there. Maybe not today, but at some point. The second piece is less theoretical and more talking about the relationship between Kodesh Makol in this world. Nisha Olam Shakal, Olam Shal Kodesh. Olamim Shakal, Olamim Shal Kadosh, Olamim Shal Trim Zadza. If you look at this world, there are certain things that are kadosh, certain things that are not. Olamim shakol, olamim shakodesh. The first thing you realize when you look at things is that there's stiros. Torah is kodesh, trees are not. But kamuvan hastira hi subjektivit. It's obvious that this contradiction is only subjective. Hadam esagatov mitzumtemet. Inu yakol fashir bein kodesh ubein akol. Inu yakol lashvot es stirosahan. A person with his limited subjective perception cannot bridge the gap, cannot understand the connection between Kodesh Makol. Fehina Nam Yeshivot to Barim Balam, the Makol and Kodesh HaKadoshim. The symbolism, the imagery of Cook is using is that of Kol Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you're in the Kol, if you're outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're in Olam Shakol. You enter the Harbais, enter the Azara, you enter the Kodesh, you're going up in levels of Ruchnius, you're going up in levels of Kedusha. And you're leaving it behind the Chol. Once you realize that those things exist, and you go beyond that to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the ultimate state, so then really there is no difference. There's no stira between the Olam Shachol and the Olam Shachodesh. Everything is really divine. Everything is really godly. It's a parallel piece to the theological one. First glance is a stira between Hashem and the world. You have to act as if God is distinct from the world. There are things in this world which are not godly. But in the back of your mind, always know that the ultimate truth is that everything is really kadosh. Everything is really divine. And obviously, it's going to have a major effect as to how you relate to this world, how you view this world. I mean, just to throw out some of the other options, how to relate or how to view this world. So some people will tell you, only focus on the Kedusha. Eating, drinking, trees, flowers, all those things are distractions. They're all secular. They're neutral at best. Focus on Torah and Tefillah. Great. So that's one approach. Another possible approach would be that, focus on this world. Like, this is basically the approach of Rav Soloveitchik, if I understood it correctly. Focus on this world, everything in this world. Because everything in this world has a certain halakhic, so it's a certain halakhic value. The point of Judaism is to keep halakha in a certain way. The way to keep halakha is to engage this world in a certain way. Therefore, the value of this world is, in a sense, the ability to keep halakha in this world. A third approach might be that the regular secular world, the natural world, doesn't have any inherent kedusha, but there's certain mitzotzos. There's sparks of kedusha that are entrapped in the natural world, and you have to be ma'ala those things. So Rav Kook here, based on the Baal Tanya, based on Nefesh HaChayim, based on these things, is proposing somewhat of a fourth model, more extreme model. Not only are there mitzotzos of Kedusha in this world, not only should you focus on this world because of the ability to keep halacha in this world, focusing on this world, this world has inherent value because everything is a manifestation of godliness, everything in truth is a manifestation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the next piece is a parallel piece to the second one, but it makes this point clear that he's going one step further than the other models proposed. Differences are part of creation. There are factual differences between Kodesh and Kol. You cannot marginalize the differences between Kodesh and Kol. If you do that, you get Shabsai Tzvi, you get all these bad people, bad things happen. The free ruach merubah, not only is it necessary to recognize the differences between Kodesh V'Kol, but it helps you. You're only able to be Matzliach in Torah if you realize that Torah has Kedusha and other things don't. Amnam, Acharei Kol Eila Masigim Medei Avura Shekol Eila Him Tvarim Ovrim. But don't worry about it. Even though you have to live your life and believe that within a certain perception there are differences between Kodesh V'Kol, but the deeper perception, the godly perception, is that really there are not. All the differences are just transient. In the end of times, the ultimate ideal is that everything is going to have Kedusha. Within the confines of this world, within that subjective human perception of which he spoke, so then there are differences between Kodesh V'Kol. But the ultimate reality, God's reality currently, and the reality of the world Bacharas HaYamim, these differences aren't going to exist. Hayona Klalisha Ashvaya, this idea of making everything equal, making everything Kodesh, she used so to about to live about to riyot azaka. This idea starts with the idea of everything in this world has a nitzotzos of Kedusha. When you're eating, you should have in mind to be ma'ala those nitzotzos, to free the spirituality from the physicality. But it actually works out well, that's the next page, but there's a second aspect to this idea according to Rav Kook. For Rayon HaGadol Shal Hitapkosa Kol Kedusha Gemura Mokatat. Zansha is being mala nitzotzos, that everything, even the physicality in the food, is going to end up becoming kadosh. Or it's going to end up being realized to be kadosh b'akras hayamim. And we're going to get there through unstopping, unceasing labor of chesed shalom mishpat emes rachamim. Interesting, he chooses those things as ways to get to this realization. Everything is really godly and everything is really kodesh. Great. So what we have so far is the theology, the relationship between Hashem and the world, and that has a parallel that affects the way we relate to things in this world. The next piece is a short essay Rav Kook wrote. I think this is basically the essay in its entirety. And this idea is expressed like a story, like a very, very poetic, lyrical way. It happens to be one of my favorites, so I just put it here. It may not be getting so many new ideas out of it, but I feel like it drives the point home very much. And then next week, we'll deal with some of the nafkaminos, ramifications, in terms of tikkun amidos, in terms of limud Torah, in terms of politics, in terms of everything that this idea has. So here's how Rav Kook starts off this essay. If you want to find serenity, if you want to find nukas and nefesh, you have to do it in godliness. Everything about a person, everything is forcing people to be godly. It's an assumption we'll deal with at some later point. Natural tendencies, according to Rav Kook, are to be godly and divine. Then you're going to find your peace of mind. If you want to try to find peace of mind, something less than divinity, something less than Hashem, you're going to be like a boat that's being stormed in the sea. You're not going to be able to find true peace of mind, true serenity in anything except for Hashem. Great. That's what he establishes in the first paragraph. Here comes the problem. The second paragraph. But Hashem is well above and beyond everything in this world. He just established you can only find peace of mind and serenity in godliness. But Hashem is so far beyond everything, we can't experience him or understand him. So basically, you're back to square one. How could you ever find peace of mind by connecting to something which is beyond our comprehension? Here's just a fascinating line. Rav Kook says, a lot of Talmidei Chachamim he's met lack a certain vitality. They lack a certain drive, a certain spirit. And he says it's because of this issue. They're looking for godliness. They're looking to connect to Hashem. That's the only way they're able to find peace of mind. Talmidei Chachamim are people who are looking for a connection to Hashem. But they have this issue. They can't find the connection to Hashem because Hashem is well beyond them. And therefore, the result is that these people are sucked, have their spirits sucked out of them. They're yegeim v'yifim beruach. And he describes the problem. When the neshama is pining, it's desiring the clearest light. You're not going to be satisfied with even the most just actions. You want God. You're not going to be satisfied with a good pshat and tosfos. You're not going to be impressed by the most beautiful things in this world. Everything in the world becomes disgusting. Again, key point is even the ruchniest of the world eventually doesn't satisfy this person, eventually doesn't impress this person. Because nothing in the world is going to satisfy him. He's looking for God. The entire world seems like it's contracting, it's choking him. He can't live a normal life. They're looking for something that's above and beyond them. People want something, they can't get it, you can't turn nothingness into something, and therefore they're going to feel weak. People who have a natural tendency, a strong tendency to desire Hashem and religion, they're dafka, sometimes, going to be the weakest people, the people who have the least sense of vitality and the least life force. Because they're looking for Hashem, they're looking for that connection, nothing they do is going to satisfy them, is going to get them that connection. So here's the key line. You have to show these people the way to get to the palace is through the gate. The gate is the divinity that expresses itself in this world. Every aspect of this world. You hear a story about somebody acting heroically, or you look at a flower, you read some sort of poem, you read some sort of book. Everything has an expression of a divinity. Everything is Hashem expressing himself through this world to you. And that's the way to connect. That's the best way, according to Rav Kook, for these people to connect to Hashem, not only through the Da'at HaMo Sha'alaka, but through everything in this world, every aspect of this world. Yeah.
Presumably, it's in sharp contrast to what we said before, where he says the way you should view the world is through the first view, which doesn't assert that everything is an expression of godliness.
Not how you should view the world, how you should,
well,
you should act,
should
act practically. Meaning,
the problem is when you have a balance, knowing that it's really this way and acting like it's really that way, and it's like it's all in the details. It ends up being because, you know, just how do you do what he's saying here? The same
number is here. The Chacham here, the initial and the first perspective, so he's just saying to add the second perspective. Meaning, what the Chacham is initial, he sees that the whole world is meaningless. That's an assertion that godliness is much more in another world than in this world. So, what he needs to do is he needs to focus on the second perspective that Brooks said over there. It's not scary at all. Brooks saying it's two perspectives. He's the initial by being too much in the first, therefore, he needs to think about the second.
Yeah. Right. Sorry.
Now, I'm just wondering if you could elaborate on the role of Torah here.
So
I'm getting a little bit of a strange vibe. On the one hand, it's in this world, and it's really the vehicle through which God, we believe, is most manifest in some way. But it's not physical, not practical, in the sense of visually, experientially, sort of looking outside at a story, at an event. So how does that play in?
I think we'll get to Torah more when we get to Orat Torah. But just in terms of that particular question, the manifestation of godliness in this world isn't limited to physical phenomenon. It's Reinot Kol Sofer, Hakashot Kol Margesh, meaning even anything in this world, even the non-physical parts, intellectual parts, emotional parts, ideas, are also part of this divinity. That's going to be one of Rav Kook's chidushim, something he runs with, that every idea ever expressed has some kernel of truth, and part of our obligation is to reject the parts that aren't good and to take the kernel and appreciate the kernel when it's there. He went through modern philosophy of his time, went through Spinoza, Schopenhauer, Nietzsche, all these people who I only know of through Rav Kook and their Wikipedia pages, but he references them explicitly, some of them implicitly, and describes what he thinks is a good nakuda of their philosophy and how it should be used. And then where it wasn't balanced with some other idea, some other philosopher, where this philosopher took it too much to the extreme. But I agree with Mishraier and Jonathan Cohen that we're dealing with attention. That you, on the one hand, you know that something is true, on the other hand, you have to act, at least halakhically, differently. So where do they draw the line is going to be the question. It's going to end up being different for different people. Someplace else, he describes the different neshamos. Some neshamos find their complete sibuk nefesh just with Talmud Torah. Some people find their complete sibuk nefesh with just limud halakha. That's it, that's all they have to do all day. Some people, as Rav Kook is describing here, require this broader idea of assuming or appreciating more that everything is divine. And the rest of the piece basically just describes this whole thing. He says sometimes, if you're looking for godliness, you're going to find it. You're going to be enveloped in some cloud of spirituality. You're going to be in this world, but really living a different reality. But then he says, skip down to the single line paragraph. But this sudden vision of spirituality is passing, it's transient. You can't live in the clouds. Therefore, when you're down in this world, what Rav Kook is proposing for these types of people is to live in the context of this world, but with a heightened appreciation that everything is divine, everything comes from Hashem. And if you just wonder, the next paragraph basically summarizes what we saw in the previous paragraphs. And I'm sure everybody could realize by now that this is going to have a completely different approach to how to relate to things in this world, physical phenomena, ideas that are floating around, other types of people, and hopefully over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll flesh out this idea more in all of its different, not all of its different, but some of its different manifestations. Thank you. Yishkoach.